Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's Easter meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 and 2 and 11 to 18. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and did not know where they have laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. So far as from the text. In Christ Jesus, our resurrected and ever-living Lord, whose name is a wondrous love, we praise and honor, dear fellow redeemed. Have you ever traveled through a long, dark tunnel? Several years ago, Ruth and I took a bike ride along the Sparta Bike Trail, which is a converted railroad line. There's at least two tunnels that you have to go through walking your bike. As you enter the tunnel, you hear water dripping. It's kind of cool and clammy. And quickly you're enveloped in darkness. Without a flashlight, which we didn't bring along, it's kind of scary. And also confining. As you leave the bright sunshine and you walk into some pretty dark areas. But as your eyes kind of accumulate, it makes it to darkness, you see way down the end a pinprick of light. And as you walk further in the tunnel, that light grows larger and larger. And finally, you come out into the warm sunshine again. Well, the Lent season is something like that tunnel experience. For the past 6 weeks, been walking through the Lenten tunnel. The hours that we've spent in this Lenten tunnel have been mostly solemn, somber, serious ones. And those hours when we've been focusing upon our Savior's names of wondrous love on Sunday and walking with our Savior Jesus in Peter's shoes on Wednesday night, we've been focusing upon two major themes. Our sins and what our sins did to our Savior. In a long, dark tunnel of Lent, we've been focusing on how we have not kept the commandments of God as God demands them to be kept, perfect in thought, word, and deed. How was Jesus crucified by me, as well as Jesus crucified for me. As our devotion showed God's anger and hatred over our sins, and how God placed all those sins and condemnation upon His Son. Those dark hours drove home deeply into our hearts as we drove home those Wednesday nights in the dark what we deserved. Death and damnation. And what Jesus took. Our suffering for us. But now this morning, it's all different. Today, we walk out of that Lenten tunnel into the bright light of a glorious Easter morning. And for our joy and our comfort and praise, we look at one more name of wondrous love of our Savior, the light. Our first point is dark night. Our text tells us that it was very early in the morning. In fact, it was while it was still dark when Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. Those words didn't describe just the dark night of the sky. It also described Mary's heart. Anyone who's lost a loved one would know how Mary felt. Your loved one has died, gone, never to return this side of eternity. But Mary felt even more darkness and despair than that in her heart. Remember her past? Jesus came to her and cured her. He cast 7 demons out of her. And she was brought to faith. And from that moment on, she followed her Savior throughout Galilee and Judea with a heart full of faith and service to her beloved Savior. And then those dark hours of Monday, Thursday, and Friday came. And she saw her Savior die on the cross. Not only was the sky of Calvary pitch black as she stood under the cross looking up at him hanging there, but her heart was filled with darkness. Not only was the tomb into which they laid that lifeless body of Jesus devoid of any light, but her soul had no light in it as well. Can we even imagine the despair and the sorrow that Mary must have felt as she came to the tomb in the darkness of that morning? Her hopes were dashed. Her Lord and Savior was dead. This was not what she expected at all. Do you even imagine the darkness of despair that filled her heart when she saw the stone rolled away and she ran back to Peter and John in the darkness and said to them, "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." Mary was in a tunnel of darkness, a tunnel of despair. No exit. No light. That's why tears came pouring down from her face as she stood there by his open tomb. She thought, not only has my Savior died, but now someone has taken away his body. She would have rejoiced if she would have found his dead body there and been able to give him a proper burial, at least show him her last labor of love. As she came while it was still dark, outside and inside, in her heart. So, are there any of you here today who knows that feeling? Any of you who's wept at the freshly dug grave of a loved one? Or gone back to that gravesite and cried tears over and over again? Anyone who's struggling with their life, getting tired of its burdens, its weight of suffering and sorrow and grief? Anyone who's worried about their health or their elderly loved one's health? Or their job? Or the economy of the future? Anyone whose sins just never seem to go away and their temptations keep winning one battle after another over our spirit? Anyone who feels that he has been shoved in some dark tunnel of despair with no daylight? Well, if you do, then this lesson this morning is for you. Listen and learn as we follow Mary Magdalene from the dark night to the gray dawn. Darkness must yield. The dawn must come. It does every day. And it did on that Easter morning. Look with me as we get closer into this text. Can you see the dawn coming? It's just getting a little bit lighter. The sun's still below the horizon. The darkness is starting to disappear. You're able to see a little bit more. And Mary could see that stone rolled away and her heart was still in darkness. But a little bit of thinking on Mary's part would have made her realize that couldn't have been the disciples that did that. The believers wouldn't have stolen his body away and then lied and said, "Oh yeah, he's risen." That'd be a ridiculous lie. Who'd believe that? And besides, the disciples were terrified. They were frozen in fear back in Jerusalem, not even leaving their room. A little bit of thinking, she was out too. It wouldn't have been the enemies of Jesus that would have done this. They didn't want this to happen. They had a 24-hour guard and sealed the tomb so Jesus would not come out of the tomb. They wanted to remain dead so that the people would forget about him and they'd all go back to normal. But the dawn was starting. The sun was almost to the horizon. The other women who stayed at the tomb, when Mary Magdalene immediately ran when she saw the tomb with the stone rolled away, they saw the angels. They heard the good news. He is risen. He is not here. Why look for the living among the dead? When they went back to Jerusalem, they saw Jesus. And when they told the disciples, they couldn't believe their emotion-filled words. But Peter and John ran to the tomb, and they too saw that it was empty. The end of the Lenten tunnel was in sight. The light was beginning to shine. Again, have any of you been there with that feeling? You leave Sunday morning worship, you're refreshed, you're filled with joy and vigor and happiness, and bam, you hit trials, troubles, tribulations, temptations, and that joy is diminished. You learn in Sunday school, in a Christian day school, that beautiful hymn we're going to sing pretty soon. I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this great comfort this sweet sentence gives. And then our loved one dies, or our death is coming, and suddenly that joy is kind of a little dark. Or on Easter, we have the joy of knowing Jesus lives, but then pain comes and problems arise, and we're like in a fog. And that light is not as clear as it once was. And this lesson this morning is for you. Listen and learn as we see Mary Magdalene go from the dark night to the gray dawn to Easter morning's glorious light. Dawn doesn't last very long. It's only a few moments. And then suddenly the sun pops up over the horizon. And now it is bright. So also on that first Easter morning, soon the glorious sun arose and showed his light to all the world. In the dark morning, Mary had seen the stone rolled away. And she ran back to Jerusalem in tears, told Peter and John. Then she came back to the tomb in the dawn of the day and again saw the stone rolled away. But she looked in and saw two angels. And she said to them the very same thing she said to Peter and John. They have taken away my Lord. They do not know where they have laid him. And then it happened. As she wept, she turned. She saw a man behind her. In her tear-stained and dimmed eyes, she didn't recognize him. And when Jesus said, Mary, the sun rose. Mary's heart leaped for joy. She cried out in amazement, Rabboni, teacher. This was her Lord. She is no longer in darkness. She who had seen with her very own eyes the dead Savior laid in the tomb now saw him there standing alive in front of her. The maiden's in suddenness. Her tears dried up. The weight was on her heart was lifted. All past sorrows are gone. Darkness was removed and vanished. And now is my Savior lives. No more dark tunnel. Just the glorious light of Easter joy and victory. What a day that must have been for Mary and the other disciples. What wondrous truths Jesus' resurrection brought them. No more could sin hammer on their hearts. Christ had delivered them from their offenses and raised them for their justification. Yes, their guilt had been laid upon Christ, and it was that's what crucified him. But through his resurrection, the Father says, I've accepted his sacrifice. Your sins are no more. You've been washed clean. It is complete. No more could Satan accuse them, because when Jesus rose from the dead, he crushed Satan's head. In fact, early that morning when he arose, he went to hell and he proclaimed his victory over Satan and the evil spirits, and he laid that old evil foe flat in the dust of defeat. No more could death hold his followers. Christ had entered the grave and exited from it to show that because he lives, they will live also. These wondrous truths, sealed by Christ's resurrection, filled the disciples' days with glorious light and filled their lives with serving, self-sacrificing service to their Lord, and filled their deaths with eternal victory. So again, we ask, are there any of you out there who's had that feeling? As your pastor, I hope so. I hope you say, you bet, Pastor. I have not only seen the glorious light of Easter, it lives in my heart, and I live it daily. Easter's glorious light lifts us up over our daily battles and burdens and puts a spring in our step. Easter's glorious light brightens our darkest, deepest days of despair and sorrow and puts a smile of faith on our lips. Easter's glorious light gives a meaning and a purpose to my life in service to my Savior and love to one another. Easter's glorious light will shine down upon our deathbeds, and when we're placed in that dark grave, that light will never be extinguished. And long after our graves are forgotten, if it will last that long, and our names in the etching has faded, the glorious good news of this light will still be proclaimed. It will still be proclaimed as people around the world say, He is risen. He is risen indeed. As they believe the good news of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, that He is the light of the world, as He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This morning we leave the tunnel of Lent, the glorious sunshine of our Savior's resurrection. But someday, if the world lasts long enough, every one of us will enter another tunnel, a tunnel of our own death. But what comfort to know that at the end of that tunnel of death stands our Savior Jesus. And when that tunnel of death is ended, and we are resurrected from the dead, we will join with Mary and all the others that first Easter morning in singing praises to our Savior's wondrous love. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our risen and victorious Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.